All right, he is a good father. He's perfect in all his ways, although circumstances are not always good, right? So I understand the Ecuador team is stranded in the airport in Quito, Ecuador, waiting for another flight. So if you haven't heard that, you just need to be aware that they're good. Perfect father's good. I can't help but to believe that God must have something for them to do in that airport today, or else they wouldn't still be there. So let's pray that God will watch over them, cause them to do what it is they're supposed to do while they're there, and that they will actually make it home at some point. So let's pray for them as we begin today. God, we thank you that you're a good father, that you love us, and that your ways are perfect. God, but we live in a sinful world where things aren't perfect and things happen. God, we pray today that you watch over the team as they're in the airport and waiting to fly out. God, I pray you'll use them there, Lord, that it wouldn't just be a wasted time, but their time there would be for your glory, God. And we look forward to all the things that you've taught them so far and all the things you're continuing to teach them today. And we do pray, Lord, that you'll keep them safe, that they'll make their flights today, and that everything will be good, and they'll arrive back home. And, Lord, that you'll just bless through them. Pray all these things, strong name of Jesus. Amen. I am glad to be back with you guys again this week. I hope you had a good week. I hope God was good to you. It is good to be in God's house, worshiping and praising him and singing to him. It's a good thing we're in a country where we can do this. I was talking to one of my students who's in, can't tell you, she's in Asia with the IMB this week. And even when we talk to each other, we can't even talk about God or prayer or whatever because they could be monitoring the telephone call. And so she's in a place where she's trying to share Jesus, where it's a little bit scary, to be quite honest. And we have a lot of people around the world that are representing us today, trying to get the name of Jesus out in places where they don't have the freedoms that we have. Last week, we talked about the freedom to come and worship, but we also talked about the freedom that comes when we are in right relationship with Jesus. That only happens, though, when we acknowledge who God is in our lives each day. Let me ask you this. Let me just say this. I'm thankful that we have this Bible, that we're in a country where we actually have a Bible that we can actually read and examine and talk about and have a good time with. I love the Bible. Let me just ask you, if you have a copy of the Bible with you today, if you just hold it up. All right, if you're on your phone reading the Bible today, hold that up. Hold them up. There you go. If you're reading your phone, that's okay. See, the thing is, you can put them down now. We have access to the Bible. We're in a free country where we can read the Bible, so it's available to us. We have it. We're free to read it. And yet, my concern is this. Even though we have it and it's accessible to us, I'm concerned that there are a lot of people who never actually read the Bible. Now, I know I'm talking to church people, and I hope you'll indulge me today. I'm not trying to be ugly towards you, but if I asked you today if you actually read the Bible this week, I guarantee you if I made you raise your hand, many of you could not raise your hand today to say you read the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about coming to church and reading along with the preacher. I'm glad you do that. I'm not talking about reading along with the verse we had earlier. I'm talking about where we take the Bible and we actually read it and do something with it. It's important. We've been given this free country and this Word of God that we can read. And I want to challenge you today. That's what we're going to be talking about, the importance of the Word of God and how we can use it in our life. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. Again, we thank you for the freedom to be in your house and the freedom to worship. Lord, I want to thank you today for your Word that we've been given, Lord, that is so full of such great things, God. I pray today that you'll help us to understand the sweetness of your word. Lord, that you'll strengthen our desire to want to read it and make it a part of our lives. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Psalm 19. So if you open your Bible right in the middle, you should come pretty close because Psalms are almost right in the middle of the book. Psalm 19. And we're going to be reading verses 7 through 10. Now, the first half of the chapter, the psalmist is talking about the greatness of God's works. We've just talked about how good God is and all of his works and everything he does. So in the first six verses, he's talking about God's great works. And then in verse 7, he talks about God's word. So let's read that together. Psalms 19, verses 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, they are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I love God's word. Now, I became a believer when I was 11. I grew up in the church. We were that family. My mom was a church secretary for 40 years. We were in the church when everybody else wasn't. So in other words, we weren't just there when the doors were open. We opened the doors. I remember going when my mom used to make the bulletin on the old, what they call mimeograph machines. You know, they had the little round, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but it was like a drum thing. You put ink in there and you did it. And so, literally, I've been in church my whole life. Became a Christian at an early age. But I'm going to confess to you that even though I sort of read my Bible, I didn't really make a commitment to reading the Bible really seriously until about 15 years ago. And I've been in the ministry for 30 years. So even as a minister, I was reading the Bible, but I wasn't really committed to reading the Bible. Are you hearing me? Okay, I'm confessing to you today that as a believer, as a church person, as a minister, I read the Bible, but I didn't really read the Bible. Until about 15 years ago, I committed to the Lord that every year I was going to read through His Word. Because the reality is, in my life, I'd only read through the Bible one time. I'd read a lot of the Bible, but I hadn't read through the Bible. So I made a commitment about 15 years ago to start reading through the Bible. So every year, I read through the Bible. And let me tell you something, folks. There's good stuff in here. And if you don't read it, you won't get it. So that's kind of where I'm coming from today. And so in Psalm 19, we just read a few verses, and we get kind of a small view of some ideas about God's Word. I want to encourage you this week to go to Psalm 119, all right? The reason I didn't do 119 today, because it's the longest psalm in the Bible. But it's a really cool psalm. Every section is based on a letter of their alphabet. So for example, if we're using our alphabet, it would be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to Z. But they use their alphabet, their Hebrew alphabet, and each section begins with a letter of the alphabet. So the first one would be A, the second one would be B. If you look in your Bible, you'll see their sections. But the really cool thing was, if you could read Hebrew, is every line of every section begins with that same letter. So in other words, be like A, 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 B, 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 B. Every line starts with that letter. Now, that's pretty cool that somebody thought enough and took time enough to divide one psalm up following the alphabet, and then each one follows the same letter. But what's even better than that is the whole Psalm 119 is about the importance of God's Word. So you get a chance this week. Read Psalm, what? 119. But so today we're just going to look at Psalm 19 because it's just a shorter version. I obviously couldn't preach through all of Psalm 119. So Psalm 19 just gives us a small view of what's coming in Psalm 119. So that's what I want us to look at today. Now, so if you look at this, in these few verses, there's six different ways that it talks about God's Word. Look in verse 7. It says, the law. Now, when you think about the law, you might think about the popo, you might think about the rules in our country, you might think about our government, and there's laws. Whenever the scripture here is talking about the law, it's talking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, that. But I want to tell you that when I think about the law, I think about there's natural laws, like, you know, if I drop something, it goes to the ground because there's gravity. You know, we're breathing air because there's air. There are natural laws that exist. God created all those, but the law that we're talking about here is God's law. God established everything. So when it says the law, we're not just talking about rules here. We're talking about God is in control of everything. This right here is God's law. He's got something for us that we need to hear. God's instructions, the law. Look at the second thing it says. Testimonies. Now, most of you have been in a worship service where somebody shared their testimony. What is a testimony? A testimony is telling about something good that's already happened, right? So the Bible is full of the testimonies of God, all the good things that God has done all throughout time. As a matter of fact, if I was to pause right now and say, can somebody share something good that God's done? I'm sure you could do it. We could share a testimony of how God is good. But the Bible is full of the testimony of God. The most important testimony of the Bible is that of Jesus. All the way from the beginning, all the way to the end, this book is a testimony of who Jesus is. So it's law, it's testimony, and then in verse 8, it's the precepts. Now, maybe you may or not understand what that is, but a precept is basically an idea or something. So not everything that we understand about God is spelled out. You know that, right? When you try to figure things out, not everything that you need to know is spelled out one word for word, like what color shirt you should wear today. That's not spelled out, right? Whether you should be modest or immodest, it may not be clear, but there are ideas that we get from the Word that help us to know how we should live. Precepts. Fourth thing, commandments. Now, we're good with this. We know what a commandment is. That's something we know we're supposed to do. The Bible is full of things that we're supposed to do. What's some of them? What are some things you're supposed to do? You got to ask. This is your turn to participate. A commandment. What is something you're supposed to do? Love. Obey your parents. Don't kill. So the Ten Commandments, obviously, we come up with those. What did Jesus say the two number one commandments were in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. We know what commands are. They're things we're supposed to do. The Bible is full of things that we're supposed to do, commandments. Verse 9, the fear. Fear, we're not talking about here being scared. We're talking about being awed and reverencing to who God is. This word helps us to understand the awe and wonder of who God is. He's a great God, and there's awesome stuff in here that help us to understand His great awe. That helps us to understand the fear. And then the last one, probably one that we really don't like, but this goes along with commandments. If there's a commandment and you break it, there comes judgment. Results, right? So the Scripture does give us some clear understandings of what's going to happen if we don't do what we're supposed to do. Judgments. Now, these are all ways that this Bible is talked about. Law, testimonies, precepts, commandments, fear, judgments. But with these six, there's also a characteristic of them. So look at the law. It says the law is perfect. That word really means complete. God's law is better than anything else. It's perfect. It's complete. It's all we need. We could stop right there, and that'd be enough. That'd be enough of a reason for us to read this, because God's law is perfect. It's complete. It's all we need. His testimonies are sure. That means you can count on them. Everything that he said, it's true. It's sure. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank because it is sure. It's dependable. It's faithful. You can believe the testimonies of God. I know there are students who go to class and they get bombarded with teachers who don't really believe in God. And basically they say, hey, you know, that stuff's not really true. But I'm telling you, it's true. It's sure. You can count on it. You can take this to the bank. It's good. His precepts are right as opposed to wrong. They're going to be the things that you know how to live by. If you want to live right, follow his precepts. The reason our country's in a mess is we're not following right. We're following our own. You know, the Old Testament says there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in their own heart. That's essentially what we're doing. See, if you don't follow the word, who are you following? You're either following your set of rules or somebody else's. This is the only thing that's right. God's word is right. His commandments are pure, as in they're not bad. They're not diluted. They're going to be everything they need to be. His commandments that we're to do, they're pure. He gives them to us so that we can be pure. Fear is clean. These are very similar, pure and clean. Pure means it's without, doesn't need to be diluted. It's not diluted anyway. But clean means not just pure, but like good stuff, right? So when we fear God, it brings goodness and cleanness. I think about salvation. Salvation, when we come to God and we understand His commandments to come to Him, we have an opportunity to be clean. And then the last one, His judgments are true. That means they're going to happen, folks. If God says it, it's going to come to pass. There's no falsehood in His judgments. They're going to be true. So there are a lot of folks who might say this or that about how things are going to happen in the future, but the reality is, because God is both a just and a gracious judge, His judgments are true. So how we look at the Word and what we allow the Word to do in our life really matters, because His judgments are true. I want you to note one more thing, though. In each of these statements, there's something that these things accomplish. So the law of the Lord restores the soul. In other words, the law is what helps us to understand who Jesus is. We read Galatians last week, and I'm thankful for the question that I got out the door about the law. This is exactly what it was talking about. The law of the Lord is what helps us understand we need Jesus. So our soul can be restored when we understand the law. So if we don't understand the law, we can't understand Jesus. So if we're not reading and getting the law in our lives, our soul can't be restored. That's the only way it can be restored. But if we are a Christian, the law also helps to restore our soul every day. That's what it accomplishes. The law restores the soul. Second thing, His testimonies make wise the simple. Now, I don't know how wise you are. I sometimes think I'm pretty smart. But in other days, I feel like I'm pretty doggone stupid. Because sometimes things that seem like I should understand them, I don't. But His testimonies make wise the simple. His testimonies is where we get our wisdom. It's where we can move beyond where we are. The only way we can have salvation is when we truly understand the testimony of who Jesus is. The more we understand who Jesus is, the better we can live and the better off we are. Because the testimonies make wise the simple. His precepts rejoice the heart. So when we get the ideas and we're living by the right ideas, our heart rejoices. We're able to be joyful. Joy comes in our life when we understand the precepts of God. It helps us to know the right path that we should go on. That's what brings us joy, when we're walking down the right path. His commandments enlighten the eyes. We're able to see clearly what we need to see. His commandments, the rules. See, the problem with us is when we look at rules, we don't really understand why they're given. Even the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments weren't given to make our lives bad. The commandments were given so we'd have a good life. Think about it. If countries around the world just lived by the Ten Commandments, we would not be in the mess that we're in right now. Because God gave the commandments not as a burden to us, but to enlighten the eyes so we would know how to live and what we need to see and what we need to do. The fear, or the reverence of God, endures forever. Because God endures forever, when we fear and are awesome and reverent before Him, we're able to endure forever. Because we'll have Jesus as our salvation, we'll have an eternal life ahead of us, and when we understand that, we can walk and stay in the path that we need to. The last one is this: His judgments are righteous altogether. His judgments, the thing that He brings that sometimes we think of as bad, even those judgments are righteous. They're good. We're judged so we can be good. You know, it's kind of like gold and silver when they're made more pure. They're put to the heat, so the dross and the bad things can go away. And the good stuff, the good gold, the good silver is what's judged the most, if you will, and it becomes righteous. We become righteous altogether through God's judgments. So there's a lot of good stuff here about the Word of God, but this is not even the best thing. Verse 10 is even what I think is the best verse. So he said all these things about what the law is, the characteristics of it, and what it accomplished. But then in verse 10, it says that this law, this word that we have is more desirable than gold. Now, we live in a society where most everybody I know wants to get a paycheck, wants to get some money, wants to have a house, a boat, you list it. We desire things. Is there anybody in here who just wakes up every morning and says, I want to see what I can give away today? Is there anybody in here? Because if you are, I want to be your friend. No, just kidding. Most of us don't get up in the morning with a desire to give things away. We get up in the morning with a desire to get things. But what this is saying is God's word is more important than anything we could ever earn or get. More desirable than gold. And then it goes on to say it's sweeter than honey. Now, I don't think there's any significance to honey except for honey is about as sweet as it gets. And it's the purest kind of sweetness there is because God made it, and the little bees, you know, make it. Anybody beekeeper in here? Anybody ever done any bee stuff? You know much about honey? I really don't either, so I don't want to talk foolish. I just want to make sure if there's somebody smart, they could share. But, you know, the bees make honey, and it's pure, and it's holy, and it's sweet. But what he's saying here is that God's word is better than the best honey there is. God's word. All these things we said, it's good. It's sweet. It meets our need because that's really what food does. We have to eat. Anybody plan on skipping a meal today? If you're fasting, you might. If you're on a diet, you might. But most of us eat every meal. I love to eat. It's my problem. I can't lose weight because I like to eat too much. But we all need to eat. It's what we need. What he's saying here is God's word ought to be more important than even what we eat because really, this is what we should be eating every day, God's word. Because it's good. It's sweet. It should be more desirable than gold, than honey. So, questions. Are you involved with learning about God's law? Are you listening to his testimonies? Are you learning his precepts? Are you obeying his commandments? Do you really fear God? Are you prepared for his judgments? God's word is perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. That's what the scripture told us. His word brings all kinds of good things into our lives whenever we allow it. Has your soul been restored? Is your soul being restored through the word? Are you wise? Are you gaining wisdom from the word? Do you rejoice? Are you rejoicing? Are you joyful? Is the word of God leading you to have a life of rejoicing? Do you see clearly? Has God allowed your eyes to be enlightened? Are you clearly understanding your eternal destination, your current eternal status with God? Are you living in a righteousness with Christ? Do you really desire God's word more than gold? Do you desire God's word more than the sweetness of honey? If you find yourself where I did 15 years ago, your answer may be no, I'm not really doing those things. Then today's the day to just make a recommitment to understanding and reading and letting God's word be a part of what you need. Now, the most important thing about God's word, I said earlier, is Jesus. So if you've never experienced Jesus, you need to experience Jesus today. You need to come into a relationship with him. Because outside that relationship, none of this is really going to matter to you anyway, because you're not going to want to live anyway. You're not going to want to read the word if the word's not in you. But if Jesus is in you, then you're going to want to read the word. If you're here today and you've got Jesus in you, then I want to say to you, like I did last week, that you're only going to be free when you know how to be free, and you're only going to know how to be free through this word, by reading it, by desiring it, by making it an important part of your life. We didn't read verse 11, but if you were to turn over to verse 11, in keeping this word is great reward. In keeping this word is great reward. But I can't enjoy the great reward if I don't keep the word, if I don't read the word, if I don't invest in the word. So the invitation today is actually pretty simple. We'll sing a song. You can come down front if you want to. If you need to receive Jesus, I would definitely like to talk with you today. If you need to make some sort of a recommitment, you can come to the altar and do what you need to do. But what I'd really like for you today to do today is commit to the Lord that you're going to make His Word a bigger priority in your life. Make a commitment to actually read it. So if you're not reading it at all, start today. Pick it up. Read it. If you need a reading plan, I happen to notice that when the announcements were running at the first, that there's a reading plan available to you. So if you don't know what to read, there's a reading plan. I don't know who has it, but somebody does because it was up there. Who knows where to get it from? Who can help me out? Who's got the reading plans? There in the back? Oh, so you can get one as you leave today. That's even easier. So the reality is, today when you leave, the challenge is to desire God's word more than what you do right now. It's good. It's better than gold. It's sweeter than honey. And with it brings great things. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you that, Lord, you've given it to us. We have access to it. Lord, we're in a country where we can freely read it. God, I pray that you help us not to be distracted by the things in our life, that we'd be committed to your word. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. One last thing before I sit down. It's summer. I don't know what your summer's like, but my summer's been pretty crazy. My mother-in-law was here last weekend. I want to thank you for just being sweet to her. She just moved in with us a week and a half ago, so our life has really been, when I say crazy, it's been crazy. Everything's kind of been up in turmoil and different. Some of you might have different schedules during the summer because of vacation and things like that, and it's easy to get distracted. I got off track. Don't let summer be the time to keep you distracted. This is a great time to get back on track. Allow God to help you be on track with His word as we leave today.